Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by Bingle Transportation. Bingle Transportation, moving you forward. Visit bingletransport.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. Today I'm joined by Tony Bazzini, Chief Engineer for ExxonMobil Global Projects Company. Tony is also the 2020 Chairman of the Engineering and Construction Contracting Association, which hosts its annual ECC conference every fall. This year that conference is virtual. It's going to be held September 29th through October 1st. Tony, we're so grateful to be here with you.
Jeremy, thanks for inviting me, and I'm really happy to share ECC with your organization.
So, Tony, ExxonMobil is among the most recognized energy companies in the world. You know, however, I suspect that some of BIC's audience is unfamiliar with the ExxonMobil Global Projects Company. So, for those that aren't familiar, would you just give us a little bit about the primary function of your group?
Sure, Jeremy. The ExxonMobil Global Projects Company was formed in April of 2019, and it brought together project practitioners that were previously dispersed throughout the ExxonMobil Corporation. So for the first time, we have in one organization project practitioners that are from the upstream, working upstream projects, and then downstream and chemicals and midstream. And the organization is a good size. We possess a full range of project skills from cost engineering, execution planning, process design, facilities planning, all the different things that are required to be successful in delivering a venture. We also provide support for the entirety of the ExxonMobil project portfolio globally. So we're responsible for putting into place all the capital projects for the corporation. And my role in that is as chief engineer. I'm one of the more senior technical experts. I've been with the company 39 years. Previously to this assignment, I ran the refining and chemicals project management group for over 10 years, and that group was responsible for all of the execution and development of refining chemical projects globally.
So Tony, tell a little bit of our audience about some of the current projects, maybe on the downstream side that you're involved with, at this time.
Yeah, so we have a fairly good portfolio underway. One of the highlight projects in my view is the GCGV project down in Gregory. This is a really unique project that I was involved with from the very beginning, worked with the project team and various contractors. It's the first project in the industry that is executing with a mega module execution strategy. So virtually the entire plant will be fabricated in a fabrication yard in China, and it's being commissioned in the fabrication yard, fully commissioned, and then brought over and then hooked up with single welds. There's some of the modules are of tremendous size, exceeding 10,000 tons. Just massive. These are the largest onshore modules in the industry. This project contains a lot of innovation, not only from an execution perspective, but a tremendous amount of cost engineering and process design expertise to drive the unit cost of production for that venture to be one of the lowest in the industry in the Gulf Coast. So not only are we executing it in a way that provides a higher degree of execution certainty because of the strategy, it will also be one of the most economic plants from a capital efficiency perspective in the Gulf Coast. That's one example. The other parts of the portfolio, whether it be in the Permian or in the Gulf Coast from a refining chemical projects, have similar levels of innovation. We've implemented various strategies to increase modularization of our plants where possible. We're working very hard on technical innovation with regard to digital tools and systems. We're pioneering application of AWP on many of our projects, which is an emerging process to improve the efficiency of field execution. We're looking at various ways to be innovative with our contractors, service providers, to achieve a true win-win outcome for our ventures by increasing risk transparency and achieving alignment on goals and objectives as we move into these ventures. And I think we've been fairly successful. I mean, the GCGV project is a poster for that kind of innovation with regard to risk transparency and alignment with our contractors, who are just a fantastic job on this project.
Hey, Tony, what role did a global project company play in the BPEX, a Beaumont polyethylene expansion that started up in the fall of 19?
Yeah, so the BPEX project predated global projects. The global projects company caught the tail end of BPEX. But my prior organization was deeply involved in that project. Again, that was a fairly interesting project. We executed the engineering on a fixed price basis, and we executed the construction on a reimbursable basis. The project met our cost and schedule objectives, and it benchmarked very competitively within the industry, and it started up flawlessly. So my prior organization was responsible for all of the execution planning, contracting, and all the cost engineering aspects. For example, we did a pipe and flange based estimate on that $1 billion plus facility to really understand what the costs of the project were and what the opportunities of the project were to improve the capital efficiency of that venture. That project we view as a real strong success for our company.
And then you had mentioned too that the BCEP, the Baytown Chemicals Expansion Project, that also would be influenced or supported by Exxon Global Projects.
Absolutely, that's being executed by the Global Projects company. That also the sanction occurred prior to Global Projects, or just coincident with Global Projects. But the interesting thing about the BCEP project is that we took a very aggressive position on AWP on that project, all the way starting in FEED. And in our portfolio, that project probably is the most advanced application of AWP that we have. And it's showing tremendous promise in terms of the efficiency that it's delivering. And we were involved in that. I mean, in terms of supporting the team around various technical things that needed to be done to achieve that outcome.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, Tony, that's going to include the profile of that project includes the Vistamax performance polymer unit, and it kind of puts Exxon into the linear alpha olefins.
That's right. It's two separate projects executed as one, and that's exactly right.
Cool, man. Well, that's very neat. I appreciate you expanding a little bit about that. So, Tony, let's get into the conference a little bit. So I mentioned in your introduction that you're the 2020 chairman of the Engineering and Construction Contracting Association. The ECC has been around for about 50 years, if I have that correct. And for those that don't know ECC, you know, what's the purpose of ECC?
Yeah, so I appreciate the nice comments about the association, Jeremy. The ECC has been around for more than 50 years. I think we're on our 52nd year.
Wow.
It's one of the oldest industry associations in existence. Our primary mission is to help capital project industry get better. And we do that through our annual conference. And we have year-round events. It's not just an annual conference. We have a mid-year session. We have a sponsor-only session, which allows the sponsor companies of ECC to get into a more in-depth technical discussion on topics that are of interest. We have a very robust and industry-leading future leader organization program in excess of probably close to 200 members. And these represent young professionals from our sponsor companies. These are the folks that will be the leaders of our industry in the future. We have just expanded the Academic and Workforce Development Committee to include craft labor. This is a big area of focus for the ECC. We view ourselves as sort of the integrator between organizations that are doing excellent work training craft workers and owner companies who are the consumer purchaser of those craft labor skills. And what we're trying to do with that committee is increase the interaction between owner companies and constructors and EPC organizations to support craft labor training. The other interesting thing on this topic is we're also broadening it out to include ISDs, the school districts, community colleges, and academia, and HR. And we're taking a very holistic view on this topic. So the ECC is more than just its annual conference. It's its annual conference, but it's got these other things that continue to add value to the industry over the year. Now, of course, our annual conference, Jeremy, is the marquee event for the ECC. It's well known within the industry, a capital projects industry, as being one of the premier conferences. And I think if anybody's attended the conference, and I encourage you to do so if you haven't, you'll find that the production values, the quality of the speakers, the quality of the breakouts is just superb. And I can assure you that that doesn't come easy. The board, which represents a great mix of owner and EPC contractors and constructor and supplier companies, works year-round to develop the agenda and pull this event together. And it's a volunteer organization. These are senior leaders from their organizations who donate their time to the ECC to make this organization a success and to make the conference one of the best in the industry. So this year, I think we all understand what this year has been. It's been a tremendously impactful year. When we started our planning for the conference last October, we were anticipating to be on the beach in Marco Island, which is just a superb location. In fact, when we toured the facility, the conference room emptied out onto the beach, and I was concerned that we'd have a hard time keeping our folks in the room to hear the content versus going on the beach and drinking some nice cold beverages.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the pandemic hit and changed everything. We were well advanced in our planning for the conference, as you can imagine, but the board took a very key decision in March to cancel the September event because of our concerns around the impacts of the pandemic and our ability to conduct a conference of the highest quality to the industry that folks have become used to. So we took a decision at the board level in March to cancel the conference. And we went through a series of alternatives. We thought about moving it to Houston. We thought about moving it to San Antonio. And based on continued developments with the pandemic and the concern on the board about the economic environment that we were entering as a result of the pandemic and the cash crunch that some of the companies were undergoing, I think everybody is feeling the pain a little bit. But we also concluded that there was no more important time to keep connected with the industry on these important topics. So rather than skipping a year, which was an option, we did talk about that, we decided that was not in the best interest of the association. So we agreed and proceeded to develop our first virtual conference, which is, I'm proud to say, being held starting next week for 3 days. This was a tremendous change for the association. Up to this point, our model is just to put on the absolute best face-to-face meetings in the industry. And participants just continue to talk about how effective they are in terms of the content, in terms of networking opportunities and all these different things. And the challenge that we had as a board was, how do we replicate that in a virtual environment? Right. And, the agenda that we have, we pivoted from the physical conference to this virtual conference really effectively. And we retained nearly all of our speakers who agreed to present their content in live stream. And we just have a fantastic roster of speakers, including General Dempsey, who is the retired joint chairman of the Chief of Staff. He'll be talking about our role in the world. We have a great speaker from KPMG, Regina Mayer, who will be addressing resiliency in this environment. We have a noted thinker, Robert Bryce, who will be opining on the future of electricity and hydrocarbons in the 21st century. So a bit of, what does the future look like? We have a really interesting speaker, Lisa Jaster, who was one of the first Army Rangers, who's going to be talking about persistence and grit in the face of adversity, which I think is a great topic for today's environment. We then have somebody who's been at the ECC conferences several times, Professor Scott Snook from Harvard, who'll be talking about authentic leadership. You know, one of the hallmarks of the ECC is to push the paradigms of thinking around leadership and technology, and Scott's done a fantastic job in the past on that. And we closed the conference with a really awesome facilitated interview between Neil Duffin, who's the president of ExxonMobil Global Projects Company, and Jan Tuckman, who's the editor-in-chief of Engineering News Record. And they're going to be talking about both the challenges and opportunities for capital projects in the environment that we're currently in.
Now, breakout sessions are digitalization in the industry, I saw. Organizational behavior leadership.
Exactly. So just to supplement that really great roster of speakers and content, the board has done a fantastic job thinking about a series of topics that will provide the participants the opportunity to get a bit deeper into content. You know, our theme of the conference is moving from talk to traction, right? And you know, what does that mean? What does that theme really mean? I mean, where we are in the industry, we've done a really good job of talking about what we need to do. You know, there are, you know, reams, bookcases full of research and benchmarking on how to do things, best practices, innovation in terms of new technologies. But, you know, the application within our industry has been mixed. And the board really thought that the theme for this year's conference, moving from talk to traction, and the traction being gaining some connection between all of these best practices and technologies that are here now, like what we're doing in this interview on Zoom. How can these be used to improve our performance in capital projects? So the breakout sessions are a mix of topics that will provide the participants information that they can bring quickly back to their organizations and implement to improve their outcomes. Yep. But there's also content that will test their thinking and test their paradigms on what's possible. So, for example, you know, digitalization in our industry, we've been talking about that a lot. We're going to be talking about, we need to do it now. And we're going to be providing some examples of where it makes sense. We have a topic on global energy after COVID. This is a bit of a futuristic, here's what's possible. So it's not really something that you can apply, but it informs your thinking about our industry. And then we've done a really great job of bringing outside organizations in to talk about what they do. So we have the chief of staff from Google Photos who will be talking about how they do their business and what's different in how they execute projects. Hmm. We'll be talking about leadership, behavior, and organizational development. Very topical, something very useful people can take away. We have a sustainability topic on plastic waste and what that means for our industry. And then we finally have a breakout on how to improve project outcomes and talk about a case study where success was achieved and how that was done.
Yep. Yeah, that plastic waste and circular economy topic, Tony, is certainly something that seems to be driving a lot of discussions currently, for sure.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, I've physically attended the ECC for about 8 years and benefited a lot from it. A lot of peers of mine and friends in the industry certainly have got a lot of the Future Leaders program. So if anyone's interested in that, I recommend they check that out for sure. I was excited about Marco Island. Maybe we've got to make it back there.
Yeah, well, we'll be back there. You know, we have, look, I think going forward when I, you know, if I put my futuristic hat on for a minute and talk about what's it going to look like in the future for our conferences? I think we're going to see tremendous innovation in how we deliver conferences in the future.
Right.
I think we're going to see a hybrid model where we're going to have just fantastic physical events like we've had in the past. but we're also going to have a fairly robust virtual footprint as well. And this will increase our ability to communicate and interact with the industry on important topics. I also foresee emergence of greater collaboration with other industry associations such as CI and CURT, mm-hmm. where we can begin integrating content and sharing ideas and further expanding the interactions that we have within the industry. So there's a tremendous amount of innovation in this whole area, in this whole topic around industry conferences. I think the other thing that we're struggling with is that, you know, the attending conferences in the coming years may be viewed more as a luxury by some companies rather than a necessity. And we're taking a very hard look at this to ensure that we remain competitive, efficient in how we do it, and that the content that we provide is absolutely connected to the challenges that we're facing today, but also what we need to be doing in the future. And by connecting those two together, I believe creates a tremendous and compelling value proposition for our sponsors and attendees of our conferences and others as well.
Hey, well, look, thanks, Tony. I'll say this too, for anyone who wants to check out the agenda, you know, definitely visit ecc-conference.org. Everything you need to know is there. You can also register for the conference if you're interested. Hey, Tony, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. I'd love to have you back on in the future. Absolutely. And hey, when some of these projects are you know, completed down the road, certainly let us know so that we can join any you know, ribbon cuttings as a unit startup in the future.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for giving me the chance, Jeremy, to talk about something I have a lot of passion about, ECC. And I encourage everybody to go to that website that Jeremy talked about. And it's only $199. It's a bargain. You can do it from you can view it from your basement TV room or your office. And the content will be available online afterwards so you can reference it. So it's a great opportunity. And thank you for giving me the chance to talk, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing, Tony. So look, everyone watching, we appreciate your time. For more videos, visit BICmagazine.com. And remember, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by Bingle Transportation. Bingle Transportation, moving you forward.